7 is where I want to read. All right. Here we are. Now we're in the right place. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias, or Isaiah, if you will, that's the Greek pronunciation of Isaiah, Esaias, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, such as the washing of pots and of many other such things, like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Now before I go on to the passage, part of the passage that I want to get to, that I want to preach from this morning, I want you to notice what he's talking about. Since we talked about tithing this morning and giving and those things in the Sunday school, notice what he's saying. They are taking a commandment of God, and they have now taken their idea of giving, and they can take what they should be taking care of their parents with and give a portion of that to God and say, It's a God, it's, I gave that to God, and so now I'm clean. And the washing of pots, he's not saying you don't need to wash your dishes. He's not saying that. This is talking about a ceremonial washing. Obviously, common sense says if your hands are filthy, dirty, you ought to wash them off and clean them before you eat. But this is not a matter of health. It's a matter of ceremonial righteousness. It's not a matter. They're not really washing their hands. They're just pouring water and going through a ceremony before they do it. They're just pouring water on their cups. And so they're not doing that. These are commandments of men. These are things that they said they had to do. They took and extrapolated things out of the law and made new traditions and commandments out of them. And so, but they rejected and did not keep the law of God. They didn't honor their parents. And so they were all worried about the ceremonial thing and not the reality of it, not true righteousness. Verse 14, And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever a thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing. I pray you'd help me to draw the picture here and give people understanding. Lord, help us to see what we ought to see, and help us, Lord, to understand what we ought to understand. And Lord, I pray for each person here. Father, if there's one that's lost, I pray for their salvation. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand the truth of your word here. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of like to have a little bit of, not really fun, but a little bit of to try to make a point. And I want to speak to you on the subject of something really stinks here. Something really stinks here. Now, when we look at the text, we have the Pharisees, who were the self-appointed purveyors of righteousness. They thought they were more righteous than everybody else. But notice that their righteousness didn't extend to mama and daddy, did it? They figured they'd just give a little offering and then they didn't have to worry about mom and daddy. They could just, they go and keep everything else for themselves and they don't have to worry about mom and daddy. They don't have to honor mom and daddy. But nonetheless, they were all upset because the disciples had not followed a ceremonial washing of the hands before they ate. So they found fault. And they were all upset. And Jesus rebuked them for following and replacing the commandments of God with the commandments of men. And that is the way that mankind does. You know, when you have people, what mankind has always done, he's always tried to find a way around true righteousness. He just wants to salve his conscience and make himself feel okay about himself. That's why we get this whole idea, and these people that go out through the whole world, they see all the wickedness that people do, but they have this idea that man is innately good, and that's a lie. Man is not innately good. The same Bible that says that Christ died for the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, is the same Bible that says, but in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, right? And then John chapter 3, starting at verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's the truth. And so the Pharisees, they were all about keeping the ceremony and keeping the ceremony washings. And it didn't matter if it wasn't spelled out that way in the law. That's the way that's what they added to the law. And they expected all the people to do that because they wanted to appear righteous to men. But then Jesus deals with that, and he says in verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. It's talking about spiritually. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So it's what comes out of the heart of man. And then, of course, he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable that they didn't understand. And he said to them, he said, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Now we'll get on to that, but notice what Jesus is actually saying. He's saying, when you eat something, it goes into the body, right? It goes into the stomach. It goes into the intestines. And then it passes out. And I don't want to cheapen this, but the reality about it is it passes out as urine and feces, right? And the body takes what's good and takes what's bad and pushes it out. And we all have to deal with that. It's a biological fact, isn't it? As a matter of fact, we have a whole industry now about dealing with urine and fecal matter. We're now getting very explicit toilet paper commercials now, aren't we? And we have things that people use to freshen the air. And we joke about that type of stuff, don't we? We say we use crude jokes about that. They call it scatological humor. We use crude jokes about it, you know. We go into the bathroom and we hope somebody hadn't been there before us, don't we? And if they were there before us, we hope that they were courteous and did something to take care of the odor. Or we hope that they don't. We hope that they either put the seat down or pick the seat up, don't we? Why? Because that stuff stinks. It stinks. And boy, we worry about when something offends our nose or our eyes, we worry about it, don't we? And obviously, I understand there is a sanitary component to that. And we have to deal with that, and we have to clean, and we have to sanitize, and we have to do all of that type of stuff that we have to do to live because it could affect our health. I do understand that. But really, a lot of what we do is not so much about health as it is about just not offending our sensibilities. I mean, they have things you spray in the toilet to make sure it doesn't smell so bad, to cover up the scent, and air fresheners and candles and everything else that people do. And so we talk about it, and in many places it's very crude, and I understand that. As people become more vulgar, they become more crude. But you know, but whether you're rich or poor, whether it is, you have to deal with that, don't you? But it does not defile you spiritually. Then Jesus says this. He says, that which cometh, verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Wouldn't it be good if we took as much effort and time and were as concerned about how we smell spiritually as we did how we smell physically? Amen. You know, we sit there and we think about We think about all the things that we talk about and the issues we have to deal with just from biology and the way our bodies work and everything like that. And we think about all that. You have some people that take it down to the point that they're worried about what they eat because they're scared. We all have some things that we might shy away from, right? And say, I'm not going to eat that because I know what the results are going to be. All right? We sit there and we say all kind of things and we joke about it, but we actually do put a lot of effort into making sure, trying to make our lives more pleasant in that way. And then again, we also don't want to offend others, do we? Now, we don't want the embarrassment of going out and, you ever had to go to the bathroom, and I don't mean to be crude here, but you ever have to go to the bathroom and you go and it's bad. And we've all been there, right? It's bad. It's not. And then somebody else walks in and says, "Whoa!" Right? That happened to me one time. People come in and say, "Sanders, what is wrong with you?" And so I it's just a bad thing. It's like, well, and I said, and I said, that man right there is an optimist. He goes into a place like that expecting to smell petunias. I just tried to do something to lighten the deal because I was embarrassed. But the bottom line is we talk about this stuff and we don't want to offend other people. And that we take care of our bodies, don't we? Because it's not just the things that are come out of the body in the sense of the food we eat and the water, fluids we drink and everything like that, the waste products of the body, but sweat and body odor. You ever had somebody just smell bad? You ever had a time where you'd been working and you knew you smelled bad and you didn't want to be around somebody and you were afraid somebody was going to smell? And you were embarrassed by it. And then we come up to people that are on the street that are homeless or don't bathe or something's wrong with their mind. They don't bathe. They don't take care of themselves. They smell bad. And it's like, whoa. They don't clean their clothes. Right? It gets offensive, doesn't it? And of course, we wash our clothes, don't we? We wash our clothes, we wash our bodies, we do the things that we need to do. We use deodorants, we use all manner of things. Why? Because we don't want to offend somebody. But why do we not take as much care when it comes to that which is spiritual? Amen. You're afraid of smelling bad. To man, you ought to be afraid of smelling bad to God. I want you to think about that. God talks about Christ being a sweet smelling savor, the sacrifices that were given, things being a sweet smelling savor unto God. That we be a sweet smelling savor unto Him. We need to think about that. The Bible talks about these things that are out of the heart of man. Matthew 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Luke 6:45. Companion verse to that, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Turn over there and look at that, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 29, get there very quickly. Ephesians 4:29. it says this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice a lot of that has to do with what's coming out of your mouth, doesn't it? And so those things that come without, those are the things that defile the man, not just the things that come out, but eventually what's in your heart's going to come out because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And one preacher said, whatever in the well of the heart is eventually going to come up in the bucket of speech. And that's the truth of the matter. And so we look at that, but we don't worry about that. We don't understand that. And this is one of the reasons why people never see their need for salvation. Because they instead of looking at their own heart, looking at what's coming out of their own heart, what they notice, they try to find a reason to justify, or they compare themselves to another and they make themselves feel good. But Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And he says, I, the Lord, I try the reins. I try the heart. God sees that. And it stinks. And the only solution for it is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only solution for it is the grace of God. Which doesn't come but by faith in the blood of Christ, by the way. It stinks. If you're lost, there's no way you can please God but to get saved. And if you're a child of God, we're supposed to allow God to work in our hearts to change us from the inside out. We're supposed to yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to change us. You know, it's an amazing thing. In the book of Proverbs, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life come from your heart. And there are a lot of times, you know, you can fool mankind. You can hold your tongue in public and only say ugly things in private or when you think you're with people of a like mind. We call that gossip, by the way. But you can't hide the stench of the human heart from God. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? We're told to give ourselves wholly unto God. We're told to allow to deal with those things that are within inside. And notice the things that proceed out of the heart of man. He starts out with what? Evil thoughts. That's on the inside. Then murders, that's outside. That comes from the evil thoughts and the things. Adulteries, fornications, murders, those are on the outside. Thefts, that's on the outside. Covetousness, that's on the inside. Wickedness, inside and out. Deceit, outside. Lasciviousness, inside. An evil eye, inside. Blasphemy, outside. Pride, inside. Foolishness, inside. All these things, they come from man. There's some things about you people don't see. They don't see your evil thoughts. But God does. We're kind of like the Pharisees. We want to wash the cups and the platter. But the cup and the platter don't stink. It's what's in the cup and the platter that stinks. He said, you're like, he told those people, those Pharisees of his day, he said, you're like whited sepulchres. Outside you appear beautiful unto men, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. We've got to understand that. We've got to deal with the matters of the heart. We talk about that smell, right? That savor. Alright? Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Luke 14:13, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Salt has a savor, doesn't it? Has a smell. Even science teaches us that smell and taste are together. You know, you got a bad cold, you can't taste anything. You got COVID, you couldn't taste anything. A lot of people had that problem. Some people had that problem. So the thing is, we look at that and we see that. But when we look at the Word of God, we look at the things that are there, we talk about, you know, we think about what stinks on the outside of man, but we don't worry about what stinks to God. When Jesus died to redeem us from all iniquity, died to redeem us of the wicked things in our hearts, to change us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The knowledge of God, the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Alright? He said, sanctify them, talking about us in John chapter 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Go all the way through that. The savor of his word, that great smell. Replace what's in your heart with the Word of God. We talk about memorizing the Bible, study your Bible, read your Bible. Why? We want people, first of all, to get to a knowledge of salvation, to know they need a Savior, to know that if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to die and go to hell. And so they actively call upon the Lord to be saved and put their faith and trust in Him. And believe that He died for their sins, and believe that He rose from the dead, and believe that He is their only hope of heaven, and put their faith and trust in Him, and then believe, and then continue to believe on Him, and believe His Word. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. The Word of God going out. To the one we're the savor of death unto death. The other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? God wants us not just to... He wants people not to see us, but to smell Christ on us. Remember he talked about the disciples in the book of Acts. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hey, those are people with Jesus. That's the way it ought to be with us. People ought to get around us, and they ought not. We ought not. And I'm using this figuratively, but we ought not smell like the world smells spiritually. But that's not going to happen just from the outside. You can't just wash your hands and wash the cup. You've got to be cleansed inside. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ's sacrifice is a sweet smelling savor. That's why you need to put your faith and trust in Him. Because the only way you'll smell right to God, the only way you won't offend God, is if you put your faith and trust in Christ. Otherwise, you are an offense unto God. Your thoughts and everything. And then, Christian, once we're saved, once we're redeemed, we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're supposed to continue. We have to understand, we live in a fallen world. We still have not had our body has not yet been redeemed. So it needs that old man we still have to fight. It needs to be cleansed. Amen. You know, in that same book of Ephesians, it talks about husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? That He might present Him unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, no blemishes. And it says, if we go back to the book of Ephesians, let me go over there real quick. I just want to point this out to you real quick. When it talks about Christ and His church, He says this. Let me find the passage I'm looking for. Let's see. Find the passage of scripture I'm looking for. All right. In chapter 5, He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, verse 25, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, Christ cleanses the church and sanctifies it and cleanses it with what? The washing of water by the word. So it's an ongoing thing. Salvation is instant, but sanctification is progressive. Sanctification is something that needs to be done repeatedly. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give unto every man an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. We're told to sanctify ourselves. We're told sanctification is something that needs to be repeated. But why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. We still have to fight that old nature. We still have, there's a battle in the heart. The difference between the saved and the lost is the saved can say no to sin and yes to God. If you can't say no to sin, you might need to get saved. I'm not saying if you've ever sinned as a Christian, you've lost your salvation to get saved. I'm saying if you've never reached a point where you've been able to say no to sin, and you don't understand how the Word of God works, and you don't understand that your liberty and your freedom in Christ, if you're just bound and caught up in sin, you might need to make sure you got saved. You might need to make sure you're saved. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves whether it be in the faith. I can't look in your heart and I can't look in your face. I can't even look at your life and tell you you're saved. Now, if you live a life that you say you're saved and you live a life that doesn't back that up, I have every right to say, well, you know, I've every right to doubt your profession of faith, but I still can't see your heart, nor can you see mine. But you know your heart, don't you? You know whether you're trusting Christ as your Savior. You know whether you've ever repented and believed the gospel or not. You know whether this talk of salvation is just a matter of an intellectual exercise or it's a matter of the heart. You know the difference. So does God, by the way. something really stinks. And too often, it's our own hearts. We need to be careful of that. We need to understand where those wicked things come from, and they come from the heart of man. And so therefore, the heart of man needs to be cleansed. And the only way to do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only thing that can make the difference. The Word of God, starting with the gospel, that's the only thing that can make the difference. You have to decide. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved today, I pray that they would see themselves. I pray they'd see clear the times that the wicked things have come out of their hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you would help them to see that that's what defiles them. Lord, there's no religious ceremony or anything that can justify a man before God. There's no church attendance, there's no baptisms, there's no ceremonies of any kind that can, there's no good deeds. But Lord, help us to see that that Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if there's one here that's lost, one that listens to this message that's lost, I pray for their salvation right now. I pray they'd see how much you love them. I pray they'd see what great sacrifice was made to save them, what Jesus gave up, and I pray they'd put their faith and trust in Him. And Lord, I just pray also that you would help us that are saved, that do know Christ as our Savior. We're assured of our salvation, and we don't have any doubts about who we're trusting in as our Savior. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see how easy it is to fall back. And Lord, to help us to listen to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to make a difference in our hearts, to cleanse our hearts, to purify our hearts by faith, by trusting in your Word and hiding your Word in our heart, that we might not sin against thee, that we might be a sweet savor unto thee. Help us, Father, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name.